There's never been a revolutionary movement that was all Jews. But the Jews invariably assumed a leadership role in this revolutionary movement.
The Bolshevik leaders here, most of whom are Jews and 90% of whom are returned exiles, care little for Russia or any other country, but are internationalists and they are trying to start a worldwide social revolution. David R. Francis, U.S. Ambassador in Russia, dispatched to Washington, January 1918. Without mercy, without sparing, we will kill our enemies in scores of hundreds. Let them be thousands. Let them drown themselves in their own blood. For the blood of Lenin and Yuritsky and Volodarsky, let there be floods, the blood of the bourgeois, more blood, as much as possible. Zinoviev, Krasnaya Gazeta, September 1, 1918.
You must understand, the leading Bolsheviks who took over Russia were not Russians. They hated Russians. They hated Christians. Driven by ethnic hatred, they tortured and slaughtered millions of Russians without a shred of human remorse. The October Revolution was not what you call in America the Russian Revolution. It was an invasion and conquest over the Russian people. More of my countrymen suffered horrific crimes at their blood-stained hands than any people or nation ever suffered in the entirety of human history. It cannot be understated. Bolshevism was the greatest human slaughter of all time. The fact that most of the world is ignorant of this reality is proof that the global media itself is in the hands of the perpetrators. Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Unless Bolshevism is nipped in the bud immediately, it is bound to spread in one form or another over Europe and the whole world as it is organized and worked by Jews who have no nationality and whose one object is to destroy for their own ends the existing order of things. William Oudendijk, Netherlands Ambassador to Russia, February 1918.
In Ukraine, Jews made up nearly 80% of the rank and file Cheka agents. W. Bruce Lincoln, Red Victory.
There is no need to exaggerate the part played in the creation of Bolshevism and in the actual bringing about of the Russian Revolution by these international and for the most part atheistical Jews. It is certainly a very great one. It probably outweighs all others. With the notable exception of Lenin, the majority of the leading figures are Jews. Moreover, the principal inspiration and driving power comes from the Jewish leaders. Thus, Chitrin, a pure Russian, is eclipsed by his nominal subordinate, Litvinov, and the influence of Russians like Bukharin or Lunacharsky cannot be compared with the power of Trotsky or Zinoviev, the dictator of the Red Citadel, Petrograd, or of Krasin or Wadak, all Jews. In the Soviet institutions, the predominance of Jews is even more astonishing, and the prominent, if not indeed the principal, part in the system of terrorism applied by the extraordinary commissions for combating counter-revolution, the Cheka, has been taken by Jews. Winston Churchill, London Illustrated Sunday Herald, February 8, 1920.
Most Bolshevik leaders who were not Jewish had Jewish wives. For example, Bulganin, Bukharin, Rykov, Molotov, Voroshilov, Kirov, Dzerzhinsky, Lunacharsky.
The whole record of Bolshevism in Russia is indelibly impressed with the stamp of alien invasion. The murder of the Tsar, deliberately planned by the Jew Sverdlov, who came to Russia as a paid agent of Germany, and carried out by the Jews Goloshekin, Samolotov, Safarov, Voikov, and Yurovsky, is the act not of the Russian people, but of this hostile invader. British journalist Robert Wilton in his 1920 book.
It was a family enterprise, this international campaign. Jacob Schiff swore to destroy Russia. Paul M. Warburg was his brother-in-law. Felix Warburg was his son-in-law. Max Warburg of Hamburg, banker of the Bolsheviks, was thus brother-in-law to Jacob Schiff's wife and daughter. Henry Ford, Dearborn Independent, July 9th, 1921.
There's never been a revolutionary movement that was all Jews. But the Jews invariably assumed a leadership role in this revolutionary movement. Jews invariably assumed a leadership role in this revolutionary movement because they were taught to be ruthless.
Vis-a-vis?
The Goyim. It was a virtue to be ruthless to the Goyim. I mean, you can say, okay, it's just cheating them economically, but I mean, that's a form of aggression. And you were taught that if you cheated the Goyim, you didn't have to feel guilty. And so it's only a step there from taking that to the, to executing the Goyim. So Salo Baron, after the revolution, talked about the Cheka, which was the secret police, and Lenin staffed it with Jews because he knew the Jews would be merciless. There would be, a Russian might have qualms about torturing another Russian, but a Jew wouldn't have any qualms about torturing a Russian because those people treated my grandparents badly. You find this throughout Jewish history. It's always the rationalization for whether it's usury, whether it's on Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, shorting the stocks that they just sold to somebody, to the Greeks, for example. Or whether it's the Cheka torturing Russians, the Jews and the Cheka torturing Russians. It's always this rationalization, well, your people treated my people badly. It's in Philip Roth, where he's stooping the Shiksa because he's getting back at the way they treated my grandfather in Russia. It's this type of asocial behavior that creates this animosity. It is something that goes real deep, this Jewish hatred of Russia. if you think that the Russian Revolution was a unique phenomenon in all of history, then you can't see any connection between that and neoconservatism, for example. And so you're totally befuddled when it comes to contemporary manifestations of the same spirit. The link has to be the Jews. People like Irving Kristol, who was a Trotskyite when he was a student at City College of New York, and then became the father of neoconservatism. So you don't understand where it came from, you don't understand where it went, and you're just, you don't understand. It's that simple. If you think that the Russian Revolution was a unique phenomenon in all of history, then you can't see any connection between that and neoconservatism, for example. And so you're totally befuddled when it comes to contemporary manifestations of the same spirit. The link has to be the Jews.